And why don't you give us an update?
Absolutely. Interesting update. We're down 16% in headcount, which we knew we'd be down, but we didn't think we'd be that much. But we have a couple initiatives that we're hoping. We're going to do a late start in September. So hopefully we can capture some of those students who have held off and realized they should have really come back to class. Then we have an express in October, and then we'll have WinterNet. So virtually almost every month we'll have new programs starting to try to, the students are out there, they just opted out, you know, for a number of reasons. Now, the reoccurring one that I hear often is that a lot of the high school seniors had such a disappointing online experience that they really didn't want to jump into another one. And unfortunately, I want to say we're pretty much experts. We've been doing online, you know, education for a number of years. But with them not aware of that, you know, that we didn't get the opportunity. Although I personally spoke to three or four and said, you know, give one class, just try one to see how it's going to be. So I convinced a few to give that a chance. So with the new starts, we're hoping that, you know, we'll pick up some additional enrollment. Interesting is that we're getting more and more part-time students, which the trend has been heading that way for a number of years. But a lot of students wanted to only take, you know, two or three courses. So, you know, that cuts down on the FTE. So, you know, we're going to wait and see. And as far as enrollment, we're going to keep the eye on the ball. So that's the most important thing that we have, you know, moving into the fall. Jamie did a great job with her team on the reentry, the protocols, the system, and I'll let Jamie jump in and give you an update on the many steps, the hours and hours it took to develop the system. Jamie?
Yeah, so thanks, Dr. Al. So in terms of our COVID check-ins, we have mandatory check-ins every day for all students, staff, and faculty coming on site. So we're doing temperature checks where everyone's wearing a wristband when they come on site to say that they went through the safety checkpoints. We're also offered COVID testing last week. That was in partnership with Health Alliance and Westchester Medical. And we're working also with SUNY Upstate on what's called pool testing. You probably read this in the newspaper a little bit. We're trying to get that off the ground to do that as our surveillance program going throughout the semester. So as Dr. Al said, first week was off to a great start. Students are getting more engaged, more back to the norm, if you will. So we are kind of monitoring as they get back into classes, but everybody was happy. Everybody was compliant. You know, everybody was really engaged and happy to see that we took the extra step, really make sure that they were safe on campus. And that's a testament to everything that we've done, working with Mark too and your team at the county exec's office to make sure we got everything off the ground that we needed to. Yep, Dr. Al's got his wristband.
Got my wristband, got checked in. The system they developed is, you know, I call it the TSA line, is you come through, you lean your head in and it tells you your temperature, you move to the next station, you swipe your ID. And that ID came in handy the other day because we had a question on a student who we thought may have not been able to come to campus. So we checked and we found out she was here, found out she came in 2 minutes after me. So we were able to trace her, contact her, and, you know, let her know that she is restricted from campus. She was tested and it came out negative, so it all turned out well. But it just shows that the system can actually work in following and tracing and finding out things on a very quick, a quick manner, which I was very pleased to see that. So their system is I think it's going to work. And if you watch the news, you can see that universities and colleges throughout the country have it's been a disaster. And I can tell you, our governor is taking it very serious. You know, we had a couple of our colleagues that have dorms and they had some outbreaks and he developed a SWAT team. And they just went after them, found them, isolated them, tested them, and, you know, just they're moving quickly. They're not going to let it happen in SUNY system. So I'm very happy that, you know, they're taking that approach. But I'm feeling so confident, I don't believe we're going to have an issue whatsoever. And Jamie?
Well, that's good to hear. And your projection for your budget for this year, how's it looking?
Yeah, so we're looking good right now. We're doing our final year-end closeout projections right now as we come up to our year-end ended yesterday. This is the start of our new fiscal year. So we're going through closeout right now. Going into next year, we're still projecting a 20% reduction in state aid. We've taken that into consideration, obviously, when we did our budget numbers. So we still think that we're going to come in pretty on point for budget-wise. We're still obviously going to be tracking it. The enrollment is where it's concerning now. Obviously, the enrollment equals revenue for us. If we're down that much on enrollment, that's going to impact our bottom line budget numbers. We did see about 30 to 40% reduction in utilities due to the closure period. So that was obviously a big savings to us coming into year-end closeout. And we hope as we continue to monitor going forward that we'll have continued reductions in all expenses overall, which will help us mitigate some of the enrollment reductions. But again, we're still going after CARES funding. We still have other sources of funding that we're actively engaged in to make sure that we can stay whole for the upcoming year.
You know, one thing that we're going to do too is Jamie and I just spoke the other day is we're going to come up with a number of scenarios. As that budget comes in, you know, if there's a shortfall, we're going to have pre-planned and we're going to work with the unions, the staff and all the leadership to see where we can make the strategic adjustments if we need be. So I don't want anyone to be surprised, but you know, when you're going in with 16% down, you have to hold your breath. You know, Jamie did a great job last year. We got some fund balance, which we would have never guessed that would have happened. And that was just truly amazing. So, and the CARES Act. So we have backup, but we still want to be prepared in case, you know, because when the spring enrollment comes, that's going to be what I'm going to be mostly concerned about. We can weather this in the fall, but if it comes in at the same level that it came in, if we don't, you know, if things don't change, if we get a vaccine, I think things will be a lot different. But, you know, we have to be prepared for that too. So we'll be ready.
Are there any questions? No? All right. Well, thank you both. It's appreciated. Always good to see you.
Well, thank you.
It's a thanks. High point of my week because I get to see you guys.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So I will, with that, call the meeting to order. Jerry, would you please take attendance?
Chairman DeLon?
Here.
Deputy Chair. Criswell?
Here.
Legislator Parity?
Here.
Legislator Warro?
Here.
Legislator Donaldson?
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Do I have a motion to approve the minutes and transcript of the August 4th meeting?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Great. We'll move into resolutions. Resolution number 301, amending the 2020 Ulster County budget to include additional funding from the New York State Office of the Aging, Office of the Aging. Susan, would you like to please give us an update on this?
Sure. We sort of did the last 6 months of the meals that you probably have been hearing about that we were sort of deluged in March and April with folks who didn't want to go out and couldn't cook and didn't know how they were going to eat, and delivered probably thousands of meals to them without reimbursement. And because of the money we got from the New York State Office for Aging, we were able to cover the cost of that, but we had to make an adjustment to the budget to accommodate the extra cost of the meals because that was above and beyond what we had budgeted for, which I think was $875,000 for the year for Gateway each year. That's what the contract says. But for this year anyway, we had to raise it because of all the extra meals that we delivered.
All right. Any questions?
Questions for me? Yes.
Just a quick question. So is this a payment for something that's already happened, or is this a combination of something that's happened and something moving forward?
Mostly for what has already happened. We started delivering these meals mid-March, and they sort of increased for a couple of months and then they leveled off and stayed there. And in the beginning of August, we started telling folks that we were delivering the meals to that August would be the last month because the stores were open, the grocery stores were again delivering. Don't forget, in the beginning of the pandemic, a lot of these folks were getting their groceries done through one of those ordering ways. You can order from the grocery store and either have them delivered or pick them up. And that stopped kind of abruptly. And that's one of the reasons we got a lot of phone calls. So all of that is back in place. The restaurants are open, takeout is open. So we felt pretty safe in telling folks that we could no longer do this. And we only actually have two or three people who really made a fuss about it and said, I can't, you know, in March I was fine, I'm not fine now, I can't leave my house. If you don't give me my meals, I'll starve. So I made a couple of exceptions for that, even though we still have a wait list of people who have been waiting. So it's partially to pay for what happened and also for August. So we sort of projected what we would need for August too. And we haven't gotten those bills yet. So it's for the 6 months. Hi, Mark.
Hey, if I could jump in.
Please.
Okay. So legislative request. Well, the one thing is this is a contract through Gateway that we typically have every year. So that piece, and like Sue said, we have a typical wait list. We serve hundreds of seniors with home delivered meals. Because of COVID, there was seniors that would normally not get these meals. So we started to burn through the money that was allocated for the entire year at a much quicker rate. And then this $175,000 from the state is helping basically get us through the end of the year, but essentially it was for that extra need that was caused by COVID. So it is to kind of reimburse us for what we've already spent prior, but it's not like we've spent a contract that we're coming to you now to approve. It's just that this funding will help us get through the rest of the country.
And also during the time that we were delivering the meals, and I may have talked about this before, I'm sorry, I'm repeating myself. The whole time that we were doing these extra meals, we were still doing the regular clients. So all of that is part of the regular budget. And then this whole COVID thing was a giant an extra balloon, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Thank you. Any questions? No. Do I have a motion? Resolution 301?
I'll move it.
All right. Second?
Yes, second. Sure.
Thank you, John. All right. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? There being none, that passes. Thank you both very much.
You're welcome very much. Thank you. Are we done?
All right. Resolution 313. Yes, we are.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Resolution 313, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county New Paltz Rural Cemetery Association Veteran Services. Can I get a motion for discussion?
I'll move it.
Yeah, move it.
Second.
Very good. We do have someone here, I believe, from Veteran Services. No?
Yes. Yeah, Mark Cozzopoli, I'm the Director of Veteran Services.
So can you just... Hello, Mark. Thanks for being here.
Oh, you're welcome.
So can you tell us a little about this
contract? Yeah, this contract is an extension of the contract that's been in place for years between the county and New Paltz Rural Cemetery. We're looking to put it out to June of 2025. Instead of amending the contract every year, we're looking to just do a five-year contract. This is to bury veterans and spouses in the county veteran section of the cemetery.
Terrific. Thank you. Any questions? Yes, Peter?
I just had a comment. I didn't know much about the cemetery.
Move it.
I spent an afternoon and I walked around the cemetery and it was extremely moving. I watched people drive up and pay their respects to loved ones, and I walked through and just examined the different eras of service and the different wars that people had been in. And it was a really moving experience. So I just wanted to say thank you for that, because it was something that I didn't know about, and it touched me. So thank you.
No, you're very welcome. And something my predecessor had taken a lot of pride in was making sure that that veterans section, you know, had the dignity and respect that it deserved. And so we're making sure that we keep that going, even though we're looking to do the expansion, you know, right in the next way. We're going to keep a focus on that current area and make sure that it stays dignified and respectful.
Well, thank you for the work you're doing. So I believe we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? There being none, this passes. Thank you. Thank you, Mark, for being here.
All right. Thank you very much.
Any new business? Yes. Any new business? No? Any old business? Well, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
You need. Hey, may I?
Yes, absolutely. Hey,
or Mrs. Just, this is just a question. Something about it or spoken about it. And I don't think it'll ever be. I heard the roll call of names. I see the chairman's on the committee. That means you have a quorum of four, not three. Now, this is not a problem, especially for your committee. If he was just, if.
Oh, John, I'm afraid you're breaking up.
That's the story of my life. I don't know what else to say other than, did you get the drift of what I was saying, Jim?
Yeah, but he doesn't count.
All right.
I believe so. That
I'll give you guys the quorum for your committee, since Dave is a member of your committee, is four.
Right.
No, he's
not three. Not three.
No, there's five on the committee.
Now,
if Dave were there, then we would need that extra person.
Well, then that's interesting, because his name was called in a roll call as a member. That's all. This is not a big deal. It's not a big issue. But when his name was called, that sounds like he is a member of the committee, and I think he is. Now, if he's not, that's okay, too.
Yeah.
I'm only just addressing it with the chairman, just in case there was ever something really that he make sure we have the roads that you need. Do you understand, Jim or Mr. Chairman? I'm
absolutely
not a problem. Not a problem.
Absolutely. And Nettie, why don't we look into this for the next meeting and get back to John?
Yeah, we put the chairman on every committee. His name's listed, but he's only there when needed, I guess. Or he counts if he comes.
Maybe that's just a note
Whatever it is, Jim, I just want to make sure that when something... Say that again.
It's understood and appreciated, John. Let's look into it, because his name is called. The assumption is that he is on the committee, and John is right.
Yeah.
Under that scenario. So, Nettie, during the course of the week, let's talk.
Yeah. Thank you, John.
So thanks. having kept you guys longer than you want to, I'll move to adjourn.
Second.
Great. Well, thank you all. See you next month.
Thank you.
Not sooner.
Thank
you. Bye-bye. Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Adios.